Oh, let me just pause right there and say parenthetically that the God we serve, he wants you to enjoy life. The Bible I read tells us in the book of Timothy that he gave us all things that we might enjoy life. Touch your name and say, enjoy life. He wants you to live a life of milk and honey, but most of us can only believe for the milk. That hit the first seven rows. The rest of y'all are going to come get you in just a moment. And what he's saying is, watch this, the same God that supplies the milk is the same God that controls the honey. Y'all about to get it in a moment. But first, you got to know you deserve some honey. Oh, Lord, look at your neighbor and say, I deserve some honey. Why? Because of what God said about me. He said that I am the righteousness of God, created in Christ Jesus, ordained and purposed for great works. Come on, say it. I deserve some honey. Destroying this negative self-image. Because if you don't ever think you deserve it, you'll never ever reach for it. If you don't think you deserve it, you'll never go after it. But I'm trying to stir something on the inside of some of you that's in here today to let you know this is your season to go after it because you deserve it. As a matter of fact, God has already said that it's mine. And so they went into this land and God says, okay, just so you can know that I'm not just trying to play with you, I want you to send 12 of your leaders into this land. I like how God is so strategic. He says, go look at it first. Isn't that what he tells us to do sometimes? You out on the car lot and the car lot closed. Come on, y'all, don't play with me. What you doing? You looking at it. Some of y'all on Sundays, you riding around neighborhoods. Yeah, you're looking at it. You're looking at it. You don't have no money. You ain't got no credit. But you're looking at it. And so that's where they were. They were fresh out of Egypt. And God says, okay, in order to inspire your faith, I need you to go look at it. And so they went and they saw it. And they said, man, God wasn't lying. That there is something that exists where I can have both milk and honey. Man, I wish I was getting this. I want to let you know that job you're on right now, God don't always want you on that job. He want a job that's going to give you milk and honey. That's going to give you money, but it's also going to fulfill you. You got to know and you got to go after milk and honey. And you know what they did? The Bible says that they cut down grapes. They cut down grapes because this was the season of the harvesting of grapes. And the grapes were so big that they had to carry the grapes between two people on the pole. That's how big the grapes. They had never, seen grapes this big before. I just saw in the spirit, the Lord says, some of y'all ain't never seen checks like this before. No, I'm not trying to get you excited. But he says, you've never seen checks with that many zeros on them before. So I just told you, you can't believe in God. You got to believe God. That some of you, this is what you're going to be doing. When it comes in the mail, you're going to be holding up to the light trying to see. Is that a real check? That's what they were doing. You ever got one of those checks? Well, you're like, is this a 5,000 or five? Watch this. We got a check in the mail the other day. Trenice had it open on the counter when I got home. I said, what's this for? She said, I don't know what it's for. They just sent us a check. She said, what are we going to do about it? I said, we're going to cash it in the name of Jesus. Y'all sent me the check. You shouldn't have sent me the check if you didn't want me to cash it. I wasn't expecting the check. I'm looking at the check like, wow, we're going to put this in the bank. And God said, that's what they did. They went to this land and they said, wow, it really exists. And they brought it back to the people and they said, look, God is not a lie. He have grapes for us. Because they have been eating manna. Oh, Lord. And when folks been eating manna for so long and you bring them these grapes, they go crazy. And the people going crazy. They shouting the victory. And Caleb said, come on, y'all. Let's get ready. Let's put a plan together. Let's strategize. We about to go in. We are well able to overtake it. We got to organize ourselves. We got to get some focus because I believe this is our year. That there was a spirit of Caleb that was among them. And it was a spirit that says we can. We know that this is our season. This is our time. We've been in Egypt for generations. Oh, but God is about to do a new thing in our life. Man, Caleb got all excited. And the folks he went up there with said, wait a minute. Because in that land was not just grapes, but there were some giants. And they were well fortified. These cities was large. How are we going to take care of all of that? How are we going to man this city? We don't even have a city this big in our jurisdiction now. The Bible says they gave the children of Israel a bad report. And it says, we can't do this. Caleb was like, no, we can do it. God wouldn't have showed it to me if I couldn't have it. This is what they said. He says, no, they giants, but we grasshoppers. See, they were tough. God was ready to do it. They were right there, y'all. They were right there. God was ready to do it. But you know what happened? Total transformation didn't take place. See, and what happens is total transformation has to take place or else God will bring you into the new place. And the new place with that old mind will mess up that new place. See, you have to destroy the negative self. See, the other 10 of those individuals, they thought that where they were was mere luck. Or happenstance, that they was just lucky to be in the wilderness. I'm just lucky to have this job, to have this degree, to have this place where I am right there. Listen, I want to let you know, God does not operate in luck, but he operates in divine purpose. You're not lucky to be where you are. God has ordained you to be where you are, but he's saying the same God that brought you to where you are is the same one that wants to take you into your new place. But they were suffering from a grasshopper mentality, which has to do with a person's perception of themselves. And you can have people who have this grasshopper mentality. And you know what happens? It affects every other area of their life. When you have a grasshopper mentality, watch this, which is a mentality that thinks that they are unworthy, that they are of lesser value or of little regard. A grasshopper mentality is one that abides in the feeling of being inferior in the presence of somebody else. See that? They say, we grasshoppers. Wait. The giants was real, but the grasshoppers was your perception. See that? But when you have a grasshopper mentality, you get in the presence of certain people and you feel inferior. No, you got to be bold enough to stand with kings and humble enough to be with the common man. Then, my son, you are ready for the world. You got to know in your heart that I am somebody. See, and this grasshopper complex was messing them up. Dr. Henry Mitchell, who wrote a book that I encourage you to read entitled Winning in the Land of the Giants, he says that there are four effects of a grasshopper mentality. He says, number one is the tendency to focus on weakness instead of strength. Focusing on what you don't have instead of focusing on what you do have. You see that? That's the first one. The second one is a negative appraisal of an individual, even in the face of positive facts. A negative appraisal. I think we got to reword that. A negative of one's appraisal. Yeah, let's reword that. A negative appraisal of an individual, even in the face of positive facts. That they had the facts that the grapes were real, but they still gave a negative report. Touch somebody and say, it's real. Stop discounting yourself. Well, nobody in my family has ever been to college before. Stop discounting yourself. Maybe God want to use you not to be a history maker, but a history breaker. Number three, Fourth effect of a grasshopper mentality is a failure to attempt at success for fear of failure. That now, watch this, you don't even make the attempt no more because you're too scared. This inferiority complex got you saying, well, I'm not good enough for that. So you don't even attempt at starting a business. You don't even attempt at going back to school. You don't even attempt to do the research that's required to bring this dream to pass. Number four, he says, they ultimately sell themselves short. Sell themselves short. See, and the children of Israel was free, but they had been culturally conditioned for chaos, confusion, and mediocrity. And I'm praying over this church that God would deliver us from the spirit of mediocrity. Because God has not ordained for us to be average, because when you are average, you're just on top of the bottom. Somebody said, I'm the head and not the tail. See, their self-image was under attack. And it was hindering their progress. They didn't have physical slavery anymore. They didn't have physical bondage. But their limitations now was mental and psychological. And unless you start seeing yourself like God sees you, it's going to break down every other area of your life. Because when a person has a self complex, it affects every other area. It affects their financial life. Because now they got to spend money they don't have to buy stuff they don't need to impress people that they don't like. They got to show you that they can wear what you wear. Baby, wear what you can afford. It affects, watch this, their professional life. So now they got to do stuff that they're not anointed to do, so that they can be in a position that somebody esteems as being worthy. No. If you're anointed to be in the classroom, be in the classroom and be the best educator you can be. Don't worry about the money, because when you're in your place, hallelujah, of anointing, I'm trying to tell y'all what I know, not what I heard. God will open up doors for you that you know not of. Stay in your place. Don't let the identity factor kill you. It affects their social life. Because now they can't be themselves around anybody else, because they always got to try to fit in. And the worst thing in the world is to be in relationship with folks that's trying to fit in. Because all they got to do now is talk about all the stuff that they can do, all the stuff that they can accomplish. You ain't got to say all that to validate your position at the table. You ain't got to laugh when it ain't funny. You ain't got to scratch when you don't itch. When you know who you are, you can be yourself. Touch your neighbor and say, God wants you to be yourself. You don't have to have what I have to roll with me. I just want somebody who know who they are, who comfortable with who they are. So this complex, see, when you don't know who you are, you live a miserable life. Because you don't see your life as having value. You have the grasshopper complex. And today, you know what God says? He says deliverance is going home with you. Hallelujah. I know, no. I know your neighbor all dressed up. They looking nice with makeup and muscles. But I want you to know that today they going to get delivered. Because sometimes the makeup and the muscles is just a cover up for what we are really suffering with. God is saying today you're going to possess the spirit of Caleb to know that I have anointed you for greatness, and you don't need to be accepted by anybody else. Let me give you three factors that control your self-image. Hallelujah. I'll continue this. Because you know, this year you got to know who you are. This year, you got to make good time in the right direction. You can't be making good time in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I know who I am. Come on, say it again. I know who I am. Come on, shout it out so the devil can hear you. Say, I am who God says I am. Say, I can have what God says I can have. Come on, say, I can do what God says I can do. Now you get ready, because folks going to call you bougie. They going to call you stuck up and arrogant. When you become to know who you are, that means that, listen, I don't have to dance to your music. I know who God has called me to be. Hallelujah. And God wants to give you better. God wants to give you better. There's deliverance that's about to come to you right now. Boy, I'm telling you, this is the greatest transformation that can come when you get delivered from a negative self-image. You didn't even know you've been beating yourself up. You've been trying to get hair like everybody else, get a car like everybody else. No, God says, wear that thing natural, man. Do what you do. Make it work. Love who you are. Man, as expensive as it is to get your hair done, you better run it natural. That's cheaper anyway. Pick that thing out, go on to work. Self-image. Self-image. I see this so much in the body of Christ. So much. People can't get into that place that God wants them. Here it is. First, let me give you the first thing that control your self-image. And that's number one, same thing that happened to the children of Israel, a preoccupation with the past. A preoccupation with the past. You're so enamored with what happened to you. And while I'm not disregarding of what happened to you and your experiences and what you've been through, you can never drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. A preoccupation with the past. See, most of our thoughts about ourselves in the present is based on the things that have happened to us in the past. It could be past failures. It could be past disappointments, past hurts. It could even be past comments that was made to you. Because while we would like to sing that song, "Sticks and Stones May Hurt My Bones, But Words Will Never Do It," that's a lie. Because words are seeds that fall down into the crevices of our soul. And somebody may have made a comment years ago and it's stuck with you. And so we hold on to that, and that shapes our perception in our present. Even if you had a not so fortunate beginning, listen, it was just that, a beginning. And I don't know if you heard what the praise team was singing a minute ago. They were saying that your latter shall be greater than your past. See, and being locked into your past is actually a function of your memory. It's your memory gone wild. It's when your memory just keep on playing past defeats, past failures, past hurts, and you can never escape your past because you're so preoccupied with the pictures your mind keeps showing you. And so now watch this. God, even though he started you out in a mess, sometimes he'll put us in a mess to give us a message. And don't let the devil cause your past to arrest your presence. Your past will affect your self-image because no matter how hard you try, you can't get over what you've been through. Mm-hmm. Oh, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you really get transformed, the line of your past get cut and you're ready for a new beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be ashamed of your past. Don't deny your past, but please be delivered from your past. When I was growing up, I used to tell y'all about this car. I had this Cutlass, 77 Cutlass. It wasn't 77, it was 95 when I had the car. I used to drive this Cutlass. And some of y'all who remember who had cars like this, you remember like when it got too hot in the summertime, what would happen? Your rearview mirror would just straight up fall off. Some of y'all know what I mean. Amen. And so you would have to get super glue, put the thing back up on there, slide the mirror back on there. Well, my car didn't have no rear view. It was sitting on the floor, right? One day, I'll never forget, I was driving, and I got to a red light. Friend of mine pulled up on side of me, blew the horn, said, "Man, I've been following you for miles trying to get you to pull over." He says, "I've been flashing my lights." I said, "Man, I ain't see you. I don't have no rear view mirror." And when I thought about that last night, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Some of us, that's how your life have to be. That you got to realize that everybody that's behind you is behind you. And the more they try to flash their lights at you and slow you down, you got to say, baby, if you don't catch me at the light, you don't deserve to be in my life in this season, because I got to keep it moving forward." Because you know what will happen? Your past will keep you in a cycle. It'll keep you dating a different person with a different name but getting the same results. because your spirit is still attached back to what happened to you in the past.